Hello, everybody, and welcome. This is Turning Towards Life from Third Space. And we are Lizzie and Justin, and we are here again for our 365th week, which means it's our seventh birthday. So I'm feeling many, many things simultaneously. But Lizzie, what a thing to have been doing this now for 7 years and to be embarking on our eighth. And we're in the same spot round the sun that we've been six times previously, including on our very first week. It's been quite fun. I've been looking back, going back to our first week, Lizzie, to see what we look like and what we sound like and what we were up to. So thank you for being here, Lizzie, with me, as you always are, and welcome everyone. Maybe you're just joining us for the first time for this seventh year anniversary, or maybe you've been with us for 7 years, or maybe you dip in and out, or maybe you've relatively recently found your way to us, perhaps because somebody you know told you about this. So welcome to all of you, regardless of how you found your way here and regardless of how often you are here. And I'm very glad to be in this conversation today, Lizzie.
Me too, Justin. And I thought, what better way to celebrate than to bring something by my very wonderful sister, Holly. So Holly Holden is her name. We used to have the same name, and now we have different names, surnames, because we both got married. But Holly Holden is her name in the world. And funnily enough, Holden is my mum's maiden name as well. So my sister got to go back to her roots with her new surname, which is quite cool. So Holly Holden has written this poem called What the Journey is For. And if you don't know Holly, you can find her on Facebook and just type in Holly Holden and you'll find she has a page called Holly Holden Notes on Living and Loving. And she also has wonderful groups that you can join and does brilliant work in the world that is regular and wonderful and supportive. And she's extremely dedicated to this path. And so I think she was teaching the other day, she said, and she wrote this poem out of the conversation that was born in one of her teaching groups. And it's called What the Journey is For. And Holly, as you know, Justin, is a huge supporter of Turning Towards Life and of Third Space and of our work in the world. And she's one of the people who I can talk to about everything we do. And she's never done our year-long program, which is kind of basis for so much, but she doesn't need to do it because she gets it so deeply already in order to have a conversation with me about either the program or this work that we do in Turning Towards Life or whatever. And so I feel like Holly is our kind of soul friend in terms of the work. And she wouldn't call herself probably a coach, an integral coach, like we might call ourselves an integral development coach, but she really is that. And more, many more things, including an interfaith minister, which is extraordinary. She's holding a funeral next week for a close family to our family, who's somebody in their family died. And she's extraordinary at holding the space for people in grief. I'm really amazed. And so I just want to say thank you at this moment for Holly, being my sister and being an excellent, extraordinarily supportive person of me and of us and of many, many people in the world. So this is what she has written, What the Journey is For. What if the descent over and over again into the dark and back out into the light is the forging of us rather than the breaking of us? What if there's nothing wrong with us in the deepest sense of that truth? What if we are not broken, even when we find ourselves back in the same territory, back in painful patterns, back in the underworld again? What if we are simply meant to give ourselves over to a process that isn't meaningless at all, but a bright, spiraling gravitational pull ever deeper towards our own sheer, gorgeous becoming?
Thank you, Lizzie, and thank you, Holly, as well. So if you're watching or listening with us, you can find the source in our Facebook group and in the notes which come with this episode and on our turningtowards.life website, which Lizzie now has a whole year's worth of one for every day, effectively. And here we are beginning our eighth year with What the Journey is For by Holly Holden. What if the descent over and over again into the dark and back out into the light is the forging of us rather than the breaking of us? What if there's nothing wrong with us in the deepest sense of that truth? What if we're not broken even when we find ourselves back in the same territory, back in painful patterns, back in the underworld again? What if we are simply meant to give ourselves over to a process that isn't meaningless at all, but a bright, spiraling gravitational pull ever deeper towards our own sheer, gorgeous becoming?
Thank you, Justin. So, there's so many reasons why I love this piece of Holly's understanding of humanness. And the first thing that flew out at me in the reading of this was this word forging and how what happens in a forge is a coming together of things and making something that wasn't made before. And so there's a kind of a creative process. Something is being created out of things that come together in service of what's going to be made, which we don't know. And it also reminds me of pottery as well, Justin, where you put your pottery in a kiln and you don't know quite what's going to come out the other end in terms of the colors that you chose or whether it will break or whether it won't. And of course, there's all kind of skill involved in that. But there's an inherent kind of faith required, both with the forge and the kiln, where we have to be with what comes and accept that then that is what is made is now what's here. And so to feel myself as a forged person, because of all of the things that have happened and will keep happening inside, outside, and those things aren't separate. Like what happens on the outside has me be who I am on the inside, and vice versa. And to feel myself as someone who is forged in service of this gorgeous becoming is such a different story than, how do I say it? Like being on the receiving end the whole time and thinking that there's something horribly wrong. Because here we are again, and I don't want it to be this way, or it hurts too much, or why is the world so against me, or something. But to tell the story of the forging, to tell the story of the making of me in service of this becoming, and then throwing everything into that pot of learning. My goodness, it's such a. It helps me so much to feel like I'm welcome in the world when that's the story that I tell. That's the impact of that story on me, is to feel that there is purpose, there is reason to my being the way that I am and having the experiences that I have, and that it's a deepening. There's a gravitational pull. Gravity exists. Gravity is, there is a benevolence that's here that informs the way that we get shaped in the world. And I love this. And one thing I really appreciate about Holly is that she brings this wisdom to places that feel really hard to bring this to. So those of us who've had really, really, really hard things happen still get to be included. It's like, oh no. That there's no place for, oh, you know, your story is too difficult to be included in this. No. What's happened to you is too difficult to be included in this. That never happens. And I think that's one of the things, the kinds of people that Holly attracts too are the ones who really, really have like seriously devastating things that happen in their lives. And there's a place for them. There's a place that is this wide, like nobody gets excluded from the healing that's available, whatever has happened, whatever has happened. And I want to just honor Holly for being that person who keeps on welcoming the depth of difficulty and pain and wound in the world, and that this can be still the story that's available.
That was thank you, Lizzie, for saying all of that. And I was felt very glad to read Holly's words this morning, because over the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 days, it's such a paradox in a way, being here and celebrating with you are with enormous gratitude that here we are as we begin our 8th year, and we're still both alive, and we're both able to do this. And there's so much to be thankful for. And I also have been in the midst of a very deep sadness for some days, and I can feel the other side of Holly's words come to me very easily, which I realize are part of a narrative that I think very many of us carry in our. That comes from our wider culture, which is something like, A, we ought to be okay, which is just bonkers, really, when you think about how complex the world is and how vulnerable we are, and how and B, there must be something wrong with me if I'm not okay in some way. And also, this sense that you and I have talked about many times before, Lizzie, that Holly has captured so beautifully here, this very unhelpful story we have in our wider culture that we are things that they can be sort of upgraded or improved upon. And if you know, like with your phone, you install the latest version of the phone operating system, and it's now better and shinier and everything, and it's fixed in that way, that somehow that's us, when instead what we are spiraling, unfolding processes, complex processes in a spiraling, unfolding, complex world. And it's such a mistake to think that the only story about us is the one of linear improvement. It causes so much harm to us and to other people to ignore the rich complexity of us. That I would just saw this quote from Frederick Buchner this morning, which is that beautiful and terrible things will happen in our lives, and beautiful and terrible things will happen inside us. And at the same time, the opposite story. So the one story that's so unhelpful is somehow we ought to be improving and getting better and feeling better and on a linear process, and anything that's a challenge to that means I failed. Or but the other side of it, which Holly addresses so beautifully here, is I think is equally a mistake, is to treat it all as meaningless. And then, of course, there are meaningless things that happen, no doubt, things that happen that have no good explanation that we find very difficult to deal with. But here, this part at the end of Holly's words of giving ourselves over to a process that isn't meaningless at all, but a bright spiraling gravitational pull ever deeper towards something, towards our own becoming, towards our widening or our deepening, or simply towards our walking deeper and deeper into this one world that we have. And one of the ways that resonated with me very much in reading Holly's words was this sense that, in a way, you could see each of us as a place that life gets to understand life more deeply. You know, right in the midst of whatever we're in a world with no guarantees, and there are simply no guarantees, where we. If we're very fortunate, we'll be brought many joys, and we'll certainly be brought many difficulties. That the possibility we can enact here is witnessing and experiencing and doing everything we can to make things better for ourselves and other people, for sure, but also knowing we'll experience what we experience in the middle of that. And it seems to me that to the extent we can see at least even part of that as life getting to know life, gives us a chance of understanding exactly what Holly is inviting us towards, spiraling gravitational pull ever deeper towards our own becoming.
I was feeling into Justin how, I guess, how important it is to me to feel this kind of faith that there's a deepening towards our becoming, and that, as you say, it's not necessarily like making me a better person or something. Like, even putting that on it isn't right. Maybe that sometimes does happen, but it's not a value based thing that's happening. But becoming isn't one thing's better than the other. Becoming is something that's happening in relationship with and in service to something bigger. And sometimes our becoming can be really disruptive. Sometimes our becoming can be, oh my gosh, all of this happening to me right now has made me find some kind of strength that's going to blow a few things apart in my life. I'm not going to be that person anymore that takes this something any longer, and I'm going to do something and it's going to shatter some things. I think my becoming isn't like a, I don't know, some shiny project of perfection, which I can find myself projecting onto things a lot. It's like, oh, well, it's in service of something good, or it's not necessarily even good. Becoming doesn't have that kind of those paradigms inside of it. Becoming is something to do with purpose and something to do with who we are really, really, and finding maybe parts of ourselves that we didn't even think existed anymore, like rage. I've discovered I'm really rageful about something as part of my becoming. And that doesn't sound very attractive or very positive or very nice, but it's functional. It's got a purpose. And how do I hold that? What do I do with that? So I'm feeling very kind of invited by this word becoming, and invited to kind of take my projections on what that is about off, so that the becoming can really be the becoming. Like, I can let the process really unfold without my attachments to how it should be, or what it should feel like, or what it should look like, or how quickly it should pass, or what it should turn me into, or what would be helpful to learn or something. That all of that feels kind of somehow irrelevant in this moment. But there's a becoming in the forge of life that isn't to do with my preferences. It's not to do with what I've learned, like you said, from wider culture, like what I should be like, what anyone should be like. The forge is having us become like what we are kind of naturally aimed at or something. And in this moment, as I'm sitting here, I can feel the trustworthiness of that. That I can trust the forgery, and I can trust the becoming, and I can trust gravity in these developmental terms. That there is a pull, and it's life, as you're saying, it's for life, it's in service of life. And all of our small notions of what life should look like, when I'm relating to becoming in this way now, seem quite irrelevant. And somehow faith in what the happenings of life internally and externally are turning me into as a person feels like a huge, big, great curiosity as we sit here and talk like this.
Last week, we were talking about Henri Bergson and process philosophy a bit, which has got some very deep resonances here. And one of the things that Bergson said that I am remembering that we might have touched on last time is the connection between living and learning. That our living is always, in one way or another, being alive is always, in one way or another, an opportunity to get our minds and hearts sort of around, deeper into life and around life in some way. And I think that it's very hard for any of us who've been affected, as probably the vast majority of us have been, by the machine metaphors of human life that have been around for the last 150, 200 years, that we're, mechanical, we're essentially some form of computer, or we're some form of machinery. As you know, because we've talked about it before, there is still around quite a strong move to even deny that we actually have our own consciousness and our own experience, that somehow because we're machine-like, that must all be illusionary. Although I don't know who experiences the illusion of being conscious if it's not a conscious being experience. But so many of those stories that are in the background, that we barely even know we live in the midst of, will teach us that we ought to be done already. And what I appreciate about Holly's words is that they give us an opportunity to be learners in the midst of everything. Like there's something that runs through a through line of our lives, that witnesses our lives and can learn from and with our lives, that isn't the experiences themselves and isn't that all of me, and all of the things, all of the ways in which I, for example, I fall short of how I would like to behave to other people, which is one of these other things, the aspirations I have for being more decent, more empathetic and more loving and more sensitive and all of those. Underneath all of that, my limitations and my wishes to be different, and there's something that pays attention and learns all the way through. So appreciating being able to honor that. And then Holly's words do something even more important in a way, which is, although she doesn't say it explicitly in this way, which is to point out that what we get to experience and what we get to learn is also a great mystery. So the problem that we have, a lot of us, with learning also, is that we go, well, good learning would be a little bit like doing an exam. I'll learn all these things and then I'll get an A grade, or whatever it is, and then I'll be. And that's not the kind of learning which our life pulls us into either, because we live in the midst of a great mystery and we are a great mystery as well. So I find it very helpful for myself when I'm able to settle also into being, I suppose, what I might call today a sort of loving witness to my own life. Being able to go, oh, there's rage. Rage is something I've had to acquaint myself with. Well, there it is. Noticing it, noticing the ways in which I've suppressed it, allowing it to be, then learning from its presence. But then also, I think part of our own becoming is not just something that happens to us. It's also something that we participate in. So rage is such a great example for me, because I know that there are kinds of rage in me that are deeply destructive of what I love, of who I care about, of values that I have. And there are also kinds of rage that are for the sake of that which I currently care about and value. And I have a role to play in that. So there's what happens, and there's also that of me that can choose a response, or can has some way of participating. I can't choose all of my responses. Too much of me is on automatic in things, particularly very difficult things, but I can choose some of it. What I can do, I think this is Viktor Frankl, who said that one of the things we get to choose is our relationship with what's happening. Not necessarily always our response to what's happening, which might have been formed by decades and decades of habit and, but we can take up a stance towards our lives that allows us, that supports our spiraling gravitational pull towards our own becoming, or we can fight against it. We can play our part in responding in ways that will be of care to who and what we genuinely care about. We can cultivate, as part of this spiraling a dedication to bringing forward the goodness that we each are and recognizing it in one another. We have a big part to play in this. It doesn't just happen to us, although a lot happens to us. And somehow it's this holding together that life is going to happen to me, and much of it is not in my control, but also recognizing that I'm not a machine and I'm not automatic entirely, that I have choices that I can make about how I participate in that. And it's somewhere in that exquisite mix of the two that the spiral and gravitational pull towards our own becoming is happening.
This feeling, Justin, the kind of the importance of reflective, some kind of reflective practice. You know, when you're talking about this thread of witnessing, and as you say, many times, there's no hope of choosing a response in the moment when goodness knows what is happening. But we can always look back and wonder, and maybe that's the kind of, I'm just wondering about whether that thread of witnessing kind of comes to find us in a way. Like it comes to find us by having us look back at something and wonder, oh goodness, can you believe I did that? Or wonder what that person thought when I said that. And that kind of looking at our lives and seeing quite plainly what we have done, what we haven't done, who we've been like, how we've impacted people, what impact it had on me, how my body feels inside of that system. There's so many things that we can wonder about. And I'm feeling the gift in this moment of that practice of, you know, I know it tends to come and find me when I'm going to sleep at night. And I wonder about what's happened in the day and who I was and who everyone else was and what kerfuffles happened and what beauties there were and all of that. And I feel like it's a very good fire to stoke. This kind of the fire of wondering, reflection, and witnessing our lives and our becoming. And this whole wondering about what is my life turning me into? What am I becoming because of the things that I'm in and because of the people I spend my time with and the things I watch and the things I consume and the things I eat and the conversations I have, the conversations I don't have, the things I won't do. Like what is all this in service of my becoming? What's happening? And I'm feeling kind of intrigued by that in this moment, that there is this something else that's happening. That, like you said, I think you said the witness, some witnessing of our lives that is us, this consciousness that is us, that has the capacity to wonder about it all and to maybe, as you say, even contemplate the great and grand mystery of the whole thing. And it seems like that reflective capacity is also not separate from at all from this mystery feeling. Like the more I reflect, the less I know kind of feeling. More I wonder, the less and less is concrete and certain and black and white. The shades of grey become even more infinite as I keep wondering and keep being ever, ever more curious. And thank goodness for that. Thank goodness for that capacity that we all have to wonder and to ask questions. And how important it is that we're in relationship about that too. That I can come and say, you know, I'm really wondering what's becoming of me that I'm doing this thing or that I'm not doing this thing. How is that having me become in a certain way? And what would it be to intentionally become in a different way if I wanted to? But the kind of the prerequisite step is wondering what's happening now. And then maybe thinking about, oh, so what would I, if I wanted my becoming, if I wanted to have an influence on my becoming, given what I know now, what could I change or what could I make choices about that are different from choosing to react in the moment, but our own kind of internal choosing of, I think I'm going to do this differently and see how it impacts my becoming.
This recognition that one of our ways of participating in our lives, Lizzie, is to observe and reflect and then participate on the basis of our observations and our reflections, that there is always something of us that is outside of the actual experience. Whatever we're experiencing, there's something of us that is able to pay attention to the experience. I suppose if we're in the most intense, perhaps the most ecstatic or the most agonizing of experiences, it can be hard to find that part of us that is in that moment that is witnessing. But it seems to me that even with those, maybe a little while later, we get to look back a bit. And this commitment that you're articulating to that there is something, and the value of our having reflective practice in our lives, is something that has run through this 7 years of turning towards life. I don't think at any point we've said, just go to sleep to your life and whatever happens, happens. You know, in a way, what we're holding together in this source from Holly is much of what will happen, and then who do we get to be in the midst of the happening of it? And I'm really taken by the, in a way, the straightforwardness of what you're saying, which is a doorway into an enormous depth, which is, I could say back in my way, that we're born into a mystery and our life ends in a mystery, and we live in a mystery all the way through, and we are mysteries to ourselves too. And we humans have the capacity to observe and wonder and ask and participate and adjust and practice and experiment and create and respond. Like, we're not passengers in our own lives. And we live in a time when, in a way, many of us are encouraged to be, we feel encouraged to be passengers in our own lives, to be sort of thrown around by the forces of this and that, or the invitations to this and that. But we can be active participants. But our active participation takes our active participation. It doesn't just happen. It takes us committing to playing our part. And maybe a big part of what I'm taking from Holly's words here is that the way to play our part is not to get caught up in the, if only I were someone different, or if only life were different, I wouldn't be right where I am. But it's to start with, here I am. Like, something really truthful right now in my life. This is where I am. This is how I feel. This is what I'm experiencing. This is what I'm able to do. These are my responses. And then to ask ourselves the question from there, which is, how can I participate from here in my own unfolding and in the unfolding of the life in me and around me? That's the question that we get asked. And it really is different to come at life that way, with our fullest hearted participation that we can muster in the midst of whatever we're in the midst of. And sometimes that's big and sometimes that's teeny, rather than handing our lives over as if we had no part in them, as if they were meaningless. So much of the meaning of our lives is illuminated in our lives by how we choose to respond. Not just by what happens.
Yeah, I'm feeling like a whole other thread coming forth here, Justin, about feeling powerful versus feeling powerless. You know, when we're like, life is happening to me and there's nothing I can do, and that awful feeling of, I can't move, I don't have any power here. And then what it means, and I think the step that you just said of just being where I am, and being honest with myself and letting it come forth to articulate my experience of being me right now, and having that be the place to stand from which I can then find some power. Like, inherently in that it's power giving. Like there's something I can do from here. Whereas before I do that, there's nothing that's possible anyway. So I'm just really appreciating this first step that you're laying out from a kind of powerless place towards feeling like I have some agency about my life and feeling this truth of, well, there's no one else in here apart from me. I'm responsible for myself. But that feeling is coming up as you're talking. I really appreciate that. And I want to say thank you to Holly for leading us down this little beautiful garden path. And thank you to you, Justin, as well. And thank you for us feeling this stand in the world for goodness and for this ever deeper becoming that has intelligence to it and consciousness. It's a very beautiful conversation we've had today, Justin. And I'm so glad that we're getting to see this 7-year cycle complete. And who knows what is ahead of us, other than I think we both know we'll be here next Sunday and we'll have a source that you find, Justin, to lead us down a different kind of garden path, but with the same thread inside of it, which I think is, in many ways, I think we're saying the same thing over and over again in different ways, which is really wonderful. Thank you to Holly. Thank you to everybody who's been here. Thank you for the little appreciations we've received so far about being around for this long and keeping on, keeping on. And how amazing, Justin, that we really do know that this has a healthy part, a healthy impact in people's lives, just to be in these conversations with one another. And we're so grateful for all the feedback that you give us. Please email us. We love receiving messages. You can catch us on Facebook. You can email us at hello@turningtowards.life. We'll both get your messages, everybody. We love it. And go to turningtowards.life where you can support us, where you can look at all of the episodes. I met somebody this week, Justin, and she'd like to listen to us. And I said, go to episode 93 because we're hysterical laughing and it's a really great place to begin. So I have episode 93 in my head as a good starting place because it made me laugh so much. And it's about something profound. It's an episode about trees and the wisdom of trees. It's wonderful, but it's also really funny. So thank you, Justin. Thank you, Holly. Thank you, everybody. And we will be back next week with a different source and a new conversation.
Thanks, everyone.